I wonder how each of us would end this phrase. For me, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without. For me, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without. For most of us, there will be certain things that we like to happen or we like to have at Christmas which make it special for us. It might be a Christmas tree or decorations. It might be being around family and friends. Maybe it's coming to such a beautiful carol service and singing the carols we've been enjoying so much this evening. In my family, one of our yearly practices is that we all wear Christmas hats for the Christmas lunch. Now, I don't think any of us remember quite how this happened or why we started this, and I think most of us probably secretly feel rather embarrassed about it, but I have two nieces and a nephew that love it, so we have to keep going. It's a kind of family tradition which happens every year. But coming back to that original question, for me, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without. For me, and for those of us who worship here regularly, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without the amazing story we've been singing of and reading of today, the story of the birth of Jesus. The story of our God, who is the creator of the whole universe and of us. Our God, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, outside of time and beyond our understanding, and yet longed for a relationship with each of us so much that he put all of his significance and power aside and came to join us on the earth, born as a tiny, helpless baby in a manger in that stable in Bethlehem. It is the greatest story ever told. It's a story we hear year after year, and it gets better every single time. And it's a story, I pray, that we take into our hearts in a fresh and new way again today. And the verse that I've taken for this sermon is Luke chapter 2, verse 12. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. The words came from the very first Christmas sermon preached by an angel to some frightened shepherds. The angel had just declared in the previous verse that today in the town of David, a saviour had been born, the Messiah, the Lord. How astounding those words must have been to the shepherds. The idea that there would be a rescuer of the world had been foretold in the Jewish faith for thousands of years. And now, the promised rescuer, the Messiah, the Saviour, had come. How were they to find the baby? Well, this is where verse 12 comes in. They were to look for a sign. Now, when the angel speaks of a sign, we expect something huge that no one would miss. And that's exactly what they were expecting in those days as well, like the miracles of the parting of the Red Sea or the burning of the bush when God spoke to Moses, or similar later on in Jesus' life to when he walked on water when he was a man. Events in the Bible that dramatically show God's intervention in history. If it were a famous person, such as the Queen, there would be plenty of signs to mark her importance. The Queen has several large houses, one of which is Buckingham Palace. When she travels from place to place, she's surrounded by bodyguards and palace officials. Cameras and reporters follow her everywhere. The sign of the Queen is ceremony, security and publicity wherever she goes. But for the rescuer of the world, for Jesus, it was not like this at all. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So, how is this tiny baby and the strange circumstances of his birth missed by most of the world then and most of the world now? A sign from God. You will find a baby. They're totally ordinary words. They tell us that Jesus came into the world just as we all do. His physical birth was just like most of ours, except for those unusual circumstances. But saying that Jesus was born a baby is actually telling us that God loved us and wanted us to know him so much that he sent his son, who was also God, to take on human form. Leaving his outward glory aside, he came so he could be like us, so he could walk the earth with us, so he could be friends with us, so that he could teach us how to love one another. I don't know about you, but although I don't wish to, I do a lot of things wrong. I don't want to, but I mess up and I make mistakes all the time. Sometimes relationships get messed up temporarily. Sometimes my relationship with God gets messed up temporarily. Hiding behind that is a secret that's not very well kept. I am myself a little bit messed up sometimes. And I think if we're really honest, when it gets down to it, the things that are true of me are true of all of us. We all need a rescuer. And Jesus is that rescuer. If Jesus had not been born, he could not have died for our sins, the things we do wrong so that we can be forgiven for them. If Jesus had not been born, he could not have, following his death, risen again from the dead, defeating death forever. And we could not have been offered the opportunity of eternal life. If Jesus had not been born, we would be stuck in our messes without a rescuer. The baby was wrapped in cloths. In the days of Jesus' birth, new babies were wrapped in cloths to protect them from the harsh weather. There was no central heating, and the shelter in homes was limited. And mothers would wrap the arms and the legs of their babies and then wrap up their bodies. It would have restricted movement and would have been quite uncomfortable. But in a world where babies often died in their first year of life, it was a way to provide protection for them. What do we learn from the binding of the baby Jesus? Well, it reminds us of another time, years later, when he would stand before the authorities bound and guarded as if he were a criminal. When falsely accused, he would not answer. When insulted and abused, he would not retaliate. It reminds us of another time when he would stand before his accusers with his hands tied, awaiting the ruling that would end his life. Jesus entered the world just as he left it, bound and helpless. You will find him lying in a manger. By manger, we mean, of course, a feeding trough. Jesus was born into extreme poverty and to the scorn and indifference of the world. It says in the book of Philippians in chapter 2, he made himself nothing by taking the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Mangers are not beautiful, clean places like the ones we see in the Christmas images. They are lonely, dirty, cold places, and they are intended for animals. It was an extraordinary way for the King of all the universe to enter the world. What a lesson for those of us who love power and outward glory. and to those of us who don't pay attention to the small things of this world. Even the poorest of children would not be found in a manger, and yet there the baby Jesus was. I read in a book, and it said, if the world's greatest need had been education, God may have sent a teacher. If the world's greatest need had been technology, perhaps he would have sent a scientist. If the world's greatest need had been money, maybe he would have sent a banker. But the world's greatest need, and each of our greatest need, was a rescuer. And so God sent Jesus, the tiny baby. In the coming of Jesus, God opened the door of heaven for us all, if we only choose to receive that gift. That's a gift, and many of us will have chosen at different times. It's one I chose when I was 24, so that was 17 years ago. It happens for all of us in different ways. All of us have a story which is unique and beautiful. But for me, it was on a course called the Alpha Course, which I hope will run again in the parish at some point in 2020. It's run all over the world, and it's an opportunity to explore the Christian faith. And if you'd like to know more about that, then I would love to chat to you. There are other courses too which serve that purpose, and we'll be running the Puzzling Questions course again next year. And again, if you'd like to find out more, please do have a chat. Well, on that Alpha course, much more probably because of the kindness and care of the group leaders than because of the course content, although the course content was important, I realised some of the things we've been talking about this evening. I realised the enormous mind-blowing extent of the love our Lord has for us. And I asked him, as many of us have, to be the Lord of my life. That is the single best choice I've ever made. It was a radical transformation. One day I was one way, and the next way I was completely different. And that was the love of Jesus and the transformation that he brings. All of us this Christmas have the opportunity to open our hearts and, be it the first time or the 100th time, welcome Jesus, the rescuer of the world. And so I'm going to say a prayer. If you agree with my prayer, you can be repeating it in your heart quietly as I say it. And that's how we're going to close this time. Loving Lord Jesus, thank you that you love us so much that you came to earth as a tiny baby to rescue us. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you died to pay the price for all the things I do wrong. Thank you that you rose again so that we too can rise again after death and have eternal life. Please forgive all the things I've done wrong. I invite you to enter my heart and be part of my life today. Amen.